Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last week we began looking at the life of Elijah and we saw how God worked through him to turn death to life in the life of the widow who had given up hope and was preparing to die. God used Elijah to bring new life to the widow and her son. And this week we continue to follow Elijah's story and we see how God uses him to bring hope out of fear. So let's read from 1 Kings 18, verses 1 to 19. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognised him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, Elijah, my lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied, "go tell your master Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong," said Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say Elijah is here. I don't know where the spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say Elijah is here. He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you? You troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So, Elijah has spent over 3 years hiding with the widow at Zarephath to avoid capture by Ahab. Yet now God addresses Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab." Can you imagine if you were in Elijah's place? You have angered the vicious, murderous king 3 years ago by decrying the gods he worshipped and proving their impotency by pronouncing God's promise of a drought. Then you wait over 3 years while the drought continues, the land gets drier and drier, and Ahab is forced to send people out to look for water and green plants to feed their livestock. He is at the point of being forced to kill the animals if he cannot find enough food for them. So, at this point, Ahab is furious. He wants to find you and slaughter you for bringing this calamity upon him. And then God says to you, "Go up to this murderous king." How would you feel? How would you react? If it was me, I'd be terrified. I'd be asking God, "You want me to do what? How can I possibly meet with Ahab? He'll torture me and kill me as soon as he sees me. This is crazy. God, I don't think I can do this." Amazingly, we don't seem to see that response in Elijah. But God knows what he is doing. He sends Elijah into a scary situation to bring hope to the people under Ahab's reign. God sent Elijah to Ahab because God was going to send the rain to the land that it was so needing. Israel was in desperate need for rain, and God was about to provide for them. By sending Elijah, God demonstrated to the people of Israel where our hope comes from and who we can trust to provide the help we need. Sometimes God calls us to work, speak, move and act in difficult circumstances and scary situations. He calls us to move out of our comfort zones so that we can be messengers of hope to others. It is not easy, and it can feel terrifying. In our own strength, we would never be able to do it, but God equips us with what we need to follow him into scary situations. The Holy Spirit longs to fill you with courage and confidence in what God is doing. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit stoke the fire in your heart? Can you hear God calling you to something that scares you? Is he asking you to speak up in a sticky situation? Is he asking you to reach out to someone who is lost and alone? How might God be calling you to be a messenger of hope in a situation that scares you? We all have a choice. We can choose to say yes to God and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and provide us with all we need for the task God sets before us. Or we can allow our fears to overtake us and say no to God. And if we say no, we get to stay in our comfortable little bubbles, safe and sound. But someone else remains lost and without hope. Someone else stays in their place of darkness and fear. So when God calls you, think carefully. How do you want to respond? The second person in this passage that God works through to bring hope from fear is Obadiah. We are told that Jezebel ordered for all God's prophets to be hunted down and executed for not following the god Baal. Obadiah was in a high position in the court of Ahab. He was a palace administrator. The Hebrew for this literally translates as over the household. He was essentially the chief of staff. His high position would have come with many perks and benefits. And so it would have been easy for Obadiah to do his job, enjoy his privileges, and turn a blind eye to the actions of the king. Obadiah could have stayed safe and secure in his position that he held. But Obadiah was a devout believer and refused to sit in comfort and benefit from the injustice that was taking place around him. He took a huge risk, literally putting his life on the line to save the lives of 100 prophets who were targeted for execution. His position allowed him to learn of Jezebel's plans in advance, so that he was able to act to ensure the safety of 100 of God's prophets by hiding them away in 2 caves. He also continued to risk his life by providing them with food and water while they were in hiding. If someone had become suspicious and followed Obadiah, then all of their lives would have been at risk. Obadiah risked a lot by hiding those prophets. If he had been caught, he and the prophets would have been executed. Yet Obadiah was willing to take the risk because he knew what was right. He was a devout follower of God, and he knew he could not live believing in God, yet refusing to act in his name. However, he also knew he couldn't do God's work in the same way as Elijah. Elijah was able to work from outside, publicly calling out Ahab's crime and making bold, obvious stands against the king. Obadiah knew he had to fight against Ahab and Jezebel's rule from the inside. He worked to thwart the plans that he had advanced knowledge of. It is easy to see the obvious work of those who publicly serve God, but sometimes we overlook the work of people who serve God in the more invisible, but no less important ways. The courage of Obadiah reminds me of other people throughout history who have put their lives on the line because God calls them to live differently to the world. For example, we remember Corrie ten Boom, who, because her faith would not allow her to let innocent people be slaughtered by the Nazis. She was willing to put her life in danger to provide shelter and safety for Jewish families during the Nazi regime, passing them on to others in an underground network that would allow them to get out of the country and to safety. Her dedication to God and her belief that we are all called to follow the example of Christ led to her and her family being detained in a concentration camp. And even after the war, Corrie ten Boom still chose to open her house to others, this time to those struggling with mental disabilities. She set up a rehabilitation centre to care for those who had been the victims of the concentration camps. There are estimates that suggest that Corrie and the underground network were able to save the lives of 800 refugees. There are hundreds of thousands of stories of other people who are willing to put their faith in action by working from the inside of corrupt situations and unjust circumstances. There are so many stories of people who use the position that God has given them to serve him and help the people around them. God places people in positions that allow them to serve him, whether that is publicly making a stand against the wrongs in the world, like Elijah, or by protecting and serving those vulnerable to acts of cruelty, like Obadiah. But what about us? How do we use our positions to serve God and to help others? God puts us in our positions for a reason. God puts us in our neighbourhoods and streets because God has chosen us to live here. So what is it about our position in our community that we can use to reach out and bring hope to others around us? How can God use us to bring hope to the people who are living in fear? What is it about your unique situation that gives you the opportunity to help someone else? Let's pray. Father God, help us to see where people are living in fear and to reach out to bring hope. Open our eyes that we may see the needs of others. Open our ears that we may hear their cries. Open our hearts so that they will not be without help. Let us not be afraid to defend the weak because of the anger of the strong, nor afraid to defend the poor because of the anger of the rich. Show us where love and hope and faith are needed, and use us to bring them to those places. Let us be willing to work for you, Lord. Almighty God, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.